All right, let's go into today's message, which is our concluding message for the year. And to take our text, I don't know what title I'll give this, but let's take our text from the book of Acts chapter 20. This happens to be my favorite topic anytime I have to preach what I want to talk about this evening. I don't know how to title this, but the central point of what I want to say is that in everything you are doing in life, this must be your first love. This must be the thing you enjoy the most. Now let's read from verse 17. Here, Paul was packing up. He was heading for Jerusalem. So he was giving farewell messages to people. So he sent for the elders of Ephesus. So I'll read from verse 18. He said, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God.' He said, 'And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men.'" Why is it that I'm innocent? Verse 27, he said, "Because I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." That is, Paul said that the innocence that he experienced in his heart concerning the blood of all men was because he always told them the truth, which was the word of God. He said, this is a warning to them, verse 28. He said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." You will remember that he was speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, all right? "To shepherd the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among you, among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." He said, "Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night after day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Now, what I want to bring out here again is that issue about, like I said, this thing must be the paramount thing in your life. This must be the thing that you love the most. And I'm using this one to just say a kind of farewell message. Now, you will see my face again. I'm not doing like follow. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's just that our meetings are going to end after today. That is, apart from our seminar coming up next week, I may just give you a small word of have a good holiday. Paul explained that since he came to them, all he had been doing was serving the Lord with humility. And what he was doing was to share everything in verse 20 that was profitable to the people, with the people, teaching them publicly and from house to house. What I have been doing is teaching publicly on radio and teaching here twice a week. And I said, while I was doing this, I was testifying to both Jews and Greeks concerning repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be the central point of every ministry, commending people concerning repentance toward God and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he was explaining, therefore, that you see, everything I have done, because I've done this consistently, I am innocent of the blood of every man. Nobody, God will not hold me in account for anybody's life because I have told them the truth. And if you're a minister, all right, God has called you to do this kind of work. Let me tell you, all you can do is to tell the people the truth. You know, one of the things I used to disagree with my wife over those days is that, you know, she wants to compel people to do the right things. And I said, no, I can't compel anybody. All I can do is to tell the person the truth, and the person is on his own. Do you understand my point? If you are an adult. And I believe it's very scriptural, because that's what Paul is saying here. Every day I declare the truth to people. Now, then there's a reason why Paul did that, and I want you to understand this. That's what I want to share with the along them. Those are the things I want to bring out this evening. There's a reason why Paul emphasized that what matters is that you declare to people the truth. You declare to them the whole purpose of God in everything that you are doing. You're not trying to cajole anybody to do something. You're not trying to force anybody to do anything. All you are doing is just sharing the truth of God with them. And the reason is because the truth of God is very powerful. Are you getting my point? You know, that's one thing that a lot of preachers don't understand yet. They think that it's by shouting. I don't know whether you get my point. It's by trying to use all kinds of methods to persuade people to do things. No. The most powerful way in life to make people do the right things is to tell them the truth. Are you getting my point? Is to tell them simply the truth. I remember one of the doctors in my department, when they began to work with us in the office, I was head of department then. So I fixed seminars for them. They are postgraduate doctors. So I said, okay, on so and so days, seminars will commence. As also and so time, maybe like 8 in the morning or 8:30. So one of them tried to explain to me that the seminar, that is it not better to have it in the afternoon? He kept on trying to explain and explain. And of course, at the end of the day, I refused to budge. I said, all right, I've heard your opinions. Now I'm fixing the time, definitely. 8:30 on so and so days. Now, you know what the young man should have just done? Should have just told me that, sir, that particular day, 8:30 is tight for me for this particular reason. Maybe in his church, they do something in the mornings on those days, and he has to be there, and they would like to be there. So he didn't want something else to clash. But he kept on trying to explain the disadvantage of 8:30 in the morning. And of course, he couldn't get across to me, because I didn't even an adult. I have considered everything, and 8:30 is sound as far as I'm concerned. But later on, I began to realize that the truth is that the man wanted to go somewhere else 8:30, on that early in the morning. That if he goes there, he will be late coming for that seminar. Instead of him to just say plainly, he started using all kinds of other methods. That is what really sets men free, that makes you get the best results in life, is the truth. Let me just share this one briefly. If you are doing business in life, don't ever use any corny method to get customers. You eventually lose them. Are you following my point? Don't. If you want to do something for somebody, do it. If you want to tell your customers the simple truth, all right? Don't try, you know, you want to sell this thing because you have a lot of and you want it to move. All right, he says, oh God, this is the best. It's better than this one. It's a lie. The man will soon find out and you will lose him forever as a customer. Do you know it works like this? Tell him simply, this one, we have plenty of it and we like the thing to sell off fast. So do you know what that means? We might likely give you a better price than you get on any other thing. Why? Because we have a large stock and want to move them. Do you know you'll be surprised? You will do better. And in case you don't do better, it doesn't matter. You've told the truth. That's what matters really. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Declare the truth to people. That's what actually liberates and gives you the best results in life. I find that I'm already preaching things about our seminar. You know, you young men, listen. This is for you. All right? And for the women too. This also works. But young men, in fact, there's a preponderance of young men today. Like 90% of those sitting here listening to me. So I'm sure I should tell you this. You want to get married? Yes, one young woman you really, really like. And you have been trying to see how you will persuade her. You know what you use? The truth. See, don't borrow a car to go and visit if you ain't got one. Do you understand my point? If you need to iron your shirt, then iron it regularly. Not just because you are going to look for the woman. Do you get my point? Iron shirts are good. Do you follow my point? Therefore, iron regularly. Don't dress up specially. Don't go and buy the new shoes because that is the day you are going out. No. You know what you should do? Simply portray the truth about yourself. You can ask my wife this, believe me. One thing I told her then, and I've used it to preach again and again, I told her simply that my job is to tell you the kind of person that I am. No deception in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then you just look at it and decide whether you like the person that this guy is. If you don't, bye-bye. Do you understand my point? That is the only way in life you will be happy eternally. I just want to chip that one in. So Paul was saying that this was what I did. I kept on declaring to you the truth. I remember once I had this discussion with somebody on the issue of tithing. And I marshaled my points properly from the scriptures. A friend of my own was in school then. And then when he finished, I said some things. I've been sharing with you along these lines during our Monday meetings, School of Biblical Exegesis. And I said that you have to be careful about this legalism that Christians are preaching in this so-called tithing thing, that there's too much legalism in it. And when I finished speaking, he said he has heard everything. Now, instead of refuting my argument, because we disagreed on it, he said that, now, I should let him know how the church of God will get money if we don't preach this thing. He said, how many Christians we agree to, of their free will, give towards the work of the ministry? I told him simply, that is none of my business, neither is it any of yours. I am talking about the truth. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I said, just show me whether what I have said is wrong. If the points I have made are not accurate exegeting of the scriptures, show it to me. Is it that I've wrongly exposed the scriptures? I have misunderstood something. Don't tell me that how we get money if we don't practice this thing. I said, that's not the point. But what I'm trying to say is this, but the truth is really is that men who are really, really liberated in their hearts, who have been liberated by the truth, are eternally more generous than men who are walking in legalism. You can't even compare. You can't. You cannot compare a free will giving of a man with that which you have used legalism to get out of him. You can't compare. That's not what we're talking about today, so I will not even try to sit on that. All right, so let me just sit on what I'm saying. So Paul explained, it's a matter of the truth. That's what I have been sharing with the people. He said, the reason why he said it like this, there's something I want you to note here. Go down quickly to verse, let me read from verse 31. He said, therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, there's something I want to note here. Paul was explaining to them, verse 31. Now, I'm reading this one in between the lines. He didn't say this expressly, but I believe it's there. He was saying, in effect, that for 3 years, I have been admonishing you, teaching you about the inheritance. That's what I'm trying to bring out. That I've been explaining some things to you about the inheritance of God that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that I'm going, it said, for you to receive it, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That is, you contact this God through the word of his grace. He said, that word will build you up and give you your own inheritance. Are you getting my point? These things that we've been describing, each person has his portion. That the only way that you can, by which you can get it, is to keep on imbibing the word of his grace. And when he said grace, what he was implying is that it's not a matter of struggle. It is not something you will do by yourself from struggling. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. It's not something you will do because you tried hard. It is something that will become manifested spontaneously in your life if the word has entered properly. What I'm emphasizing to us today is this issue of loving to hear the word of God, loving to imbibe it. Listen, as a Christian, I don't believe there is any substitute. I was discussing with my wife recently, and we're talking about people. He said, listen, some people in life, how do they expect to really prosper? That is, you don't, coming to hear the word of God for you is labor. You know, I remember once when we were in school, I wanted to go for a program very far away from campus, a teaching program. So actually I was going to be in Lagos. And one of my friends said, you mean you want to go all the way to Lagos to go and attend this seminar? I ended up not going, all right? But I told him simply, but you went all the way to Lagos for a picnic. Are you getting my point? Now, I want to go for a program and hear the word of God and be blessed and be under the influence of the anointing of God. And you are telling me that, how can I take such a step? I said, but you went that distance for a picnic. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's very funny. You know, we'll do things, and that's because we don't understand the power in the word of God. We think that it is a pastime. Are you getting my point? That is, on Sundays, you know, churches are very full on Sundays. Why? The reason why churches are full on Sundays is because people like to go to church on Sundays. I don't know whether you get my point. If you want to know those who really love the word, check those who will come to those same churches on days that are not Sunday morning. Because Sunday morning is convenient for everybody. It does not show what they really love to do. Are you getting my point?
it is convenient for everybody. You know, the way I judge the strength of every church, I check their midweek service. Because even Muslims will come on Sunday morning. On Sunday, everybody has to go somewhere. There are people who have no regard for God. They can't imagine being anywhere else on Sunday morning. It's very convenient. But you want to know those who really, really love the word of God, check the days that are not Sunday mornings. Apart from that, what the person will sacrifice to be present at the foot of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Where Jesus is teaching. Check what the person will sacrifice. That's when you know the person who really loves the word. Are you getting my point? So my friend said that, you want to go the way to Lagos? I said, you went all the way for a picnic. If I told you I was going to Lagos, all right, because somebody is about to introduce me to a business that's going to make me a multimillionaire before the end of the year, you know, you are going to tell me, go, banky, go, right? You are going to push me. You are going to lend me money. You are going to help me to get there. It's because you don't believe that what I'm going to do is really important. Are you getting my point? But what I want to leave with us this evening, before we close these meetings for the year, is that more important than business connections is the word connection that comes into your heart. Are you getting my point? Because there's something about God, what God wanted Adam to do. God told Adam that because of sin, you now have to toil to get results. Are you getting my point? Now, the question is that, was Adam not supposed to walk beforehand? No, Adam was supposed to walk. The day God created him, he said, take care of this garden. Till it. Keep it. Are you getting my point? Don't think that God just planted all the yams that Adam would need to eat for the rest of the generations of the years there. No, Adam had to discover how to plant yams properly. He had to, you know, really, really walk. He had things to do. But God said, now you have to toil as a result of sin, which tells me simply, before that, Adam was going to get results without toiling. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this is what I want to understand. That time of Adam has actually returned. The problem with people is that they have not understood how to enter into the rest of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, Adam is not supposed to have life easier then than you should have now, except for the fact that you are ministering to those who are in bondage. You understand what I'm saying? That if somebody is in difficulty, you may have to experience his difficulty to be an effective high priest. Otherwise, the results in your life are supposed to be as automatic as Adam would have gotten. This is what I'm trying to say. If Adam had eaten of the tree of life, then he would have found things working in his life without his effort. That his wisdom will have come to him naturally under every situation, and he will have gotten results without trial. I don't know whether you are getting my point. And that's what God wants to create in the life of people. So Paul said, I commend it to God and to the word of his grace. Grace is that power of God that is working towards those who have imbibed the word of God. It is a spontaneous outworking of God's word in their life. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me say this again. See, when God created the earth, there's an order to creation. Spiritual things are first. Every time God wants to do something, the first thing he does is what? Speak. I don't know whether you're following my point. The first thing God does is to speak. Now, the result of that word is released in the life of those who receive the word. And there are two kinds of people that don't experience the results. Number one, those who don't receive it though they heard it, and those who don't hear it at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are people they don't even bother to hear it. There are those who hear it and they don't receive it. Both of them, well, they have different. One gets judgment, but one gets nothing at all. You are getting what I'm saying? So if God wants to do anything in life, the first thing he does is to issue forth words. And once the word has been released, believe me, this was what God said, it does not ever return void without accomplishing. Now, this is something about the accomplishment of the word of God. It is not hindered by circumstances. If God speaks to a man in Nigeria of today and say, you, Bill Gates, will be small compared to you. We think that the man should get up and quickly run and go and sit in America near there because that's where great men are made. It's a lie. What God said is, where you are, that word you have heard, events around will cooperate to bring that word to pass. Because first is the word. The things that are seen were made out of things that were not visible. The word is not physically visible. Once somebody has imbibed the word, it will definitely produce results in his life. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, if a man eats the word of divine health, eventually the body must cooperate. Genes are present, I know, but genes are changeable. I'm persuaded about that. Because if genes, no, if I will know, their genes change. You know, this is a matter of science. It's just that science only understands that genes become worse. They don't really get better by spontaneous mutation. You've heard of the word mutation before. Mutation just means a permanent change in the sequence of a gene. All right? Now, we know it happens. But don't forget what Isaac Newton says. Every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line until, now notice that word until an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. What does that tell you? The gene that mutates, there is a force upon it that's making it go the wrong direction. But one thing is established by that, it can change. That one is established that it can change. The difference now is in which direction does it change? You are getting my point? And I'm explaining that the direction, the force that acts upon it is actually what decides the direction in which it is changing. So they say a man was born and his genetic makeup is predisposed to having diabetes or hypertension. Believe me, God said it is a lie. It depends on the forces that act upon the gene. Are you getting my point? So Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life to your mortal body. That is, the gene irrelevant. Do you get what I'm going to say? But God said, before any man can get results in, like that in his life, he must first hear the word. That's why Paul emphasized that I wanted to come and preach to you that I might impart a spiritual gift to you. Paul realized that you cannot change a man's life, all right, for the better, if you don't give him a word. Do you get my point? You know, as days pass, I become more convinced that, listen, you know, we broadcast on radio. Every time we go on there, the way of success. And in fact, when I'm hearing myself preach on there, in fact, I told my wife today, I said, God, I said, those radio broadcasts, they are potent. And I mean what I'm saying. That is, they are really potent. Believe me, nobody who settles down, hears those words, believes everything that I'm saying, there is none of them, listen, there's none that will die young, there's none of them that his life will be average if he believes everything. Now, listen, I'm not saying you should take any step. I said, just believe. Because, you see, there's something about the word of God, it is a motivating force for action. It doesn't tell you, now I have spoken, act. No, if you believe me, I will walk. Let me explain what I say. Listen, if a man drinks poison, the man doesn't have to lie down to die. The poison will kill him. Do you get my point? In the same manner, if a man drinks life, he doesn't have to get up to be alive. The life will spring him to life. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I am not saying that you have heard the word of prosperity. Now go and start business. No. I am saying that when you have heard the word, the way by which your own prosperity will come out of you by force. Listen, all your schemings, all your plans you have had for life, they are small compared to what God really wants to do. You get what I'm trying to say here? No, one brother was telling me the other day that the business he's doing right now, he had done it before. In fact, he shared that with me when we preached on the rest of God. He said that at the point he gave up, how did this start again? A man came to him and said, start this business. He said, I'm not doing it again. The man phoned him. He said, I'm not doing it. The man came down and said, you have always wanted to do this. Now it is time to start doing it. He said, okay, I don't have money. The man gave him enough money to start. After that, he added money to it to buy shares in the business. Now, you get what I'm saying? That is, the word creates. We have taught a lot that what a man should do is to act on the word. I don't know whether you get my point. Start acting. No, what a man needs to do is to really believe. His actions will tell him whether he has believed or not. You are following my point. So what's a man supposed to do? He's supposed to give attention. Proverbs chapter 4. He said, my son, verse 20, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. He said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, I want you to understand this. For those who don't understand, Solomon was an extension of the blessedness of David. That's what I have come to understand. That is, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53 about Jesus Christ, it said he shall prolong his days. God was talking about the blessing that will come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of the fact that he offers him his soul as an offering for sin. He said that he shall prolong his days. I am persuaded that Solomon was a prolongation of the days of David. I don't have time to explain all of that in details. But this is what I'm saying. The things that Solomon was quoting here, the first few chapters of the book of Solomon actually were not the words of Solomon. They were the words of David to Solomon. That's why you often hear, when I was young, my father used to say. That's why you hear words like, my son, give attention to my words. Are you getting what I'm saying? David was teaching Solomon the key to success. When God came to Solomon one night and said, what is it that you want me to do for you? He said, give me wisdom. I discovered that it was not a spontaneous decision. It was a warning that he was hidden. His father had told him long ago, more than you seek treasures or long life, seek for wisdom. He said, if you have her, you will have long life. You will have treasure. He said, exalt her, she shall promote you. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto you, and an ornament of grace. In her right hand, he tell his long. Look, his father had warned him. That's why I told you that God does not like surprises. You know what God likes? Heed instruction and be wise. He doesn't have time for surprises. Don't say, God, this thing I'm going to do is going to surprise you. You must think you are dealing with your friend, a fellow short man like you. You know what I mean, short man? Short of the glory of God. God. Look, with God, hear and do what I have told you. Don't try to be smart. Smartness is what kills. Are you getting my point? If I remember one movie I watched long ago, you know, I've been looking for the movie since, because it was a real comedy. A mafia boss, all right, told a boy, two of his boys, take this money and go and bet on that particular horse. So the guy got there, he saw the horse they told him to bet on. He said, forget, this horse can't win. So he told his partner, let's bet on the other horse, because that money is sure to win. He didn't understand that the mafia boss had fixed the race. And he knew that the slow horse was going to win whatever anybody did. So they were smart in their own eyes. So they placed their bet on the fastest horse in the race. And that horse lost. And the other slow one won. So the mafia man decided to drown them. Now, it's a joke. I mean, I'm cracking the joke. But it was a movie. A comedy, actually. Now, this is the point. They were being wise in their own eyes. But the boss who said, go and bet on that particular horse, knew what he had done about that particular race. And that's the way it is with God. So I'm just explaining that Solomon, how did he make it in life? He heeded instructions and he was wise. Are you getting me? And therefore, everything that came up to that came out in his life was a result of the fact that he heeded that instruction. Now, so God was speaking here through David to Solomon. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What does it mean by incline your ears? There is something I want to understand here. What he was saying, in effect, was that you have to deliberately become subject to what I want to tell you. You know, something happened this afternoon, and I cautioned my wife about it. We're having a discussion. I made a point. She wanted to say, what if I said, don't argue, listen and learn? So she kept quiet. I said, I am telling you, I know what I'm saying. I know you have an opinion, but right now it won't help us. Just listen and learn here. So she was quiet. And I went ahead and expounded what I was saying, and she got my point. Do you know if she had been replying and talking, it would not have gotten anywhere? I just say as simple, I say in this area, I know what I'm saying. I am the Bible teacher in this area. So listen and learn and learn. I know you have an opinion, but let me teach you. Now, I'm not sharing opinion. I'm giving you. Look, Elihu said, I will call my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm telling you knowledge that is coming from afar. No, I'm being honest. People who don't understand will say, I must always have the final word. I don't always have the final word. I listen to people a lot. Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, if you see, come to my study, I buy books a lot. I buy tapes. I buy CDs. I'm always looking for somewhere to learn from. So if you want me to learn, tell me, Pastor Banky, time to learn. I will be quiet. If you tell me to share, then you be quiet. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, you must approach the situation with bent ears. That is, drop something in here. Do you all get what I'm going to say? It is not to come with an attitude of, me too, I have something to say. There's something I'm trying to bring out here. Because I see that a lot amongst believers. Sometimes you want to talk, and you are saying something. Now, some of the things I'm going to share during this, Christ and the Church, this is our next Powerful Life seminar. I didn't start preaching them today. I preached them, as God is my witness, since I was in university, when I started learning them. I left university in 1991. As a resident in Lagos, I would discuss with people. One thing they never asked me was, what gave you this impression? And I would have told them simply that this is the word of the Lord. You know, one of the things, for one particular night, I think I mentioned something to, I referred to it a few weeks ago here. My wife and I had a discussion. I don't even know why we were awake that day, till very, very late. And I was explaining something to her. I remember it was at almost 3 a.m. She said, this is the first time since we got married that I'm understanding this point you've been trying to make. What was it that I said? I said, there is a mistake you make sometimes when we're discussing some things. You think you have an opinion, and I have an opinion. And it makes sense. Why should your opinion be superior to mine? Do you get my point? So naturally, you want to justify your stand, and you want me to understand that, and you think I'm trying to justify my position. Unfortunately, most times, that's not what is going on. So I get a bit, well, God has helped me a lot, right? I'm more patient now than I used to be. I get a bit impatient. And what's the cause of the impatience? Is that you are not getting my point. We are not sharing whose opinion or whose opinion. I am telling you divine order. If you think it is wrong, show me the divine order. I don't know whether I get my point. That for me, I can't understand why you can't see that I am not telling you what Banky likes. I am telling you that having reached into the wisdom of God, I am telling you, having gone to a far place, like Elihu said, to draw my wisdom from there, this is what the wisdom of at that level says. It's not my wisdom, it's not my opinion. It just happens that under these circumstances, I have the word that is of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And except you are telling me you have a word like that, you should not talk, you should hear. I explained something that, look, you young women, listen to this. This is very, very true. And young men, learn it, because if you don't know you have a gift, you won't exercise it. If you get married, you are not a wise counselor to your husband. You are an anointed husband. To your wife. You are an anointed husband. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, when you are finished talking, everybody has me talking, and then a word comes from your mouth. It's anointed. It's not an opinion. Disobey it at your own peril. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, it is a wisdom from afar. Single men don't have it. It is an anointing that is conferred upon you. Once a young woman who loves the Lord tells you, yes, I do, God empowers you to help her in life. As a woman, you do yourself a lot of injustice if you don't know that he has that anointing. It doesn't matter that you have a PhD and he only has an OND. That is besides the point. Elihu said, the aged are not always wise. That is, a multitude of degrees does not always have wisdom. But there is an anointing upon a husband, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Do you get the point I'm making? I will discuss some more about this during the seminar. The point I'm making is this. So God was saying, incline your ear. Don't come and say, this is how they do it in our place. That's one of the things I can't stand. Maybe because I'm a teacher. I get really impatient with it. If I get to a place, I'm sorry, everybody's having a word. And what I think, you know, actually, I have thought about what I think. I just shut down. That is, spiritually, I shut down. I have a smile at you. You think so? I see you walking into hell, I'll be smiling with you. When you have dropped into the fire and you shout for help, I may stretch a hand and pull you back out. I say, now, can I speak? I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. It is called incline your ear. Those are the ones I used to have discussion with your young women. One thing, none of them, as God lives, none of them who disagreed with me ever said was that the Bible did not say so. But I hear things like, Look at this man. He's a very conservative man. I said, what is all of this? One of the things I told my wife, even up to recently, I said, stop looking at things like, this is how my husband likes it. That there are things I have acknowledged to you that this is the way I like it. For example, I don't like going out to eat. You know the place I like to eat most? In my house. That one is the way I like it. I don't like having small cars, you know. People say, this car is very fuel efficient, it's very portable. If you see me drive a tiny car, it's conditioned. Do you get what I say? It is just like me. That is the way I like it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I know there are people who say that maybe like, you know, like the other day, who was it? I said that when I finally built my final house, that I'll call my own, that the house itself will be a street. That when you come into my house, my son will tell you that I live on Drive A inside our compound. If person said, okay, when our kindle has left home and your sons and your children have left home, who will now be staying there? I said, number one, how many children do I have? If I have a house that has about 20 rooms, does that not tell you I did not build 20 rooms because of the few children I have? How many rooms will they stay in? Maximum 4. No, be so. I said, I like the plenty room, not because of the number of children. I'm a large-hearted man. Are you getting my point? My wife is a crowd puller. One of my friends in Lagos called her Iya Adubo. You know what that means? Who speaks your Yoruba? Your Lionka? The mother of the street. Yes, mm-hmm. That's what one of my friends called her.
A real mother.
A real mother. Thank you very much. You cannot be an area mother and not have 20 rooms in your compound. You need it. Are you getting my point? Now, that is the way I like it. Do you understand my point? Now, those are the things that are personal differences. Why am I saying all of these things? There are issues in which you have personal differences. But then, beyond that, there are things that are express commandments from God. There are wisdom that a woman stretches his or her hand into to tap to better his or her life. Do you get my point? So when I've been having discussion with people those days, they'll say, look at this man, he's conservative. I say, listen to me, read the scriptures. Is that not what I'm quoting for you? A young woman actually told me that this man, you have to go and marry from your village. I said, forget. Good enough, my wife is not from anywhere near my own hometown, self. My wife's from Delta State. So you know what they were saying, in effect? You have to go and marry a bush woman who can swallow all of this. I said, but please, is this not divine truth? And look, my wife is a witness. The truths I've shared, and those who have learned some of those things from me, they find that they are more liberating than any other thing a woman can experience in life. Do you know the interesting part? When Satan offers you freedom, actually is a shortcut to bondage. I quoted something for you some time ago, which Ravi Zacharias, he was quoting Oscar Wilde, a renowned atheistic philosopher, who explained that, they said that when the man was going to die, he said that everything that life offered as pleasure, he went towards. Everyone. He said everything that appeared like pain, he avoided. Gave himself to all kinds of pleasures in life. Before the man died, he said, I only came to the same pain by a longer route. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So, sometimes once we see what God is saying, serve God with gladness. He said it is service. We will be in bondage. Fine. Then you refuse to serve God with gladness. Then you now serve your enemies with force, with sickness of heart, with despair. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? With sadness. Because if you are serving with gladness, you know the prodigal son? The prodigal son said, my father's house, there's too much restriction. They have a saying, Olayinka, in our place, they said that they tell the small chick, they were trying to protect the small chick from instant death. But they said that they didn't let us go to the open square to go and play. The people that have the wisdom know that you go out there, there is a kite, there is a hawk waiting to eat you up. You are getting my point? Because when you step into God's order, it might appear from outside like bondage. But you find out that in the Father's house, there are many, many, many abiding rooms. And there's never lack in there. That was what the prodigal son discovered through experience. Are you getting my point? But the Bible says, heed instruction and be wise. I'm explaining something here. When he said, incline your ear to my saying, David said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of God. That is, your ancestors, they did not know the fear of God. Your society, they don't know the fear of God. You have to consciously learn the fear of God. I hope the point I'm making is clear to you. So he said, incline your ear to my sayings. That is, come there not to defend your opinion, but to learn what God has said about it. No matter how much it differs from the thing they say in your own area, oh boy, better drop that one and pick the word of God. He said, when you have done that, don't let them depart from your sight. Don't let anybody distract you. That is how men think. Jesus came, he was walking, and Peter said, if it is you, bid me to come. So Jesus said, come. I like the way TDJ said it. That's all God ever says. Come. It is your responsibility to focus on the God that said, come. He will not say, don't worry about the fish. Oh. Don't worry about the fish. They may want to bite your toes. Ignore them. That's what TDJ said. He said, no detailed discussion. He just said what? Come. And that's what Solomon was saying here. Don't let that word depart from your sight. Because many things in life try to distract you from the word of God. Friends will start telling you that this is not the way it works. Let's tell you the truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me quickly go on because of time. He said, keep them in the midst of your heart. I'll say something about that in a moment. He said, for their life to those that find them and health to all their body. He said, now, there's something I mentioned earlier about this. That it is not that the man will try to be alive. He said, if the man has found it, he has found life. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If I gave you a shot of cocaine to sniff, you don't have to try to have energy. Energy comes into you suddenly. That is, you suddenly become very active. Why am I talking about cocaine? May then give you just small drink, especially if you are not the type that drinks. Just give you one bottle of, lager. When you finish, suddenly you start talking. You don't know why you are talking. You start gisting and gisting. I said, this man used to be quiet, though. It's not his fault. It is drink. A spirit, the word spirit, it can be spirit, and it can be spirit of alcohol. You get my point? A spirit had entered into him and he has set his tongue rolling. You get my point? You follow what I'm saying? That is the way the word works. If you imbibe the word, you don't have to try to be intelligent. Intelligence is given to you. I don't know whether you get my point. You cannot force yourself to remember things. Either you remember them or you don't. You can't even try to be healthy. The word gives you health. The word gives you life, and you discover that you are well. Are you getting my point? As I'm trying to practice and do like this, it's because the thing has not really come. I'm explaining something here. In the midst of difficulties and darkness, if God gives you light, you will see. I don't know that you are getting my point. You will see, and that's what the word does. It doesn't say try. It moves you into action by itself. That's why he said, they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. He said, for this reason, verse 23, watch over your heart. This is what I'm trying to explain. That is, you see, God is not saying, try and make the word work. He said, just make sure you get the word and guard the place where you have kept the word. The rest is automatic. I said something before, that Satan knows for sure that he can't defeat you. So what he tries to do is to make you run away from battle. I don't know, you don't see Worry Boy before. You know this Worry Boy? It's not today, as I hear him there. It's long ago. I have friends who came from that side when we were in school. They say, you see one small Worry Boy like this, maybe about 2 feet tall. And he faces a giant. That when he's through, the giant will be afraid to fight him. When he starts describing what he's going to do to you, the way David talked to Goliath. That is, your heart will fail. You will look for an excuse not to fight the boy. Meanwhile, the boy can't do nothing. That's what Satan tries to do to people. He's aware of the fact that left one-on-one, he's no match for you. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So what does he try to do? He tries to persuade you not to fight. He said, country is hard. It's hard. You don't know that once you get to America like this, you become a millionaire. Is that so? Yes. Go to America, my friend. So you pack. You get there, say, hey, things are very easy. You know, it's, you know, I was thinking about it a few days ago. That guys who live abroad talk about difficulties that are abroad as if it's a matter of advancement. I don't know whether I get my point. He said, there, we pay 40% of our income as tax. And he says with a kind of glee. You know, it's 40% of our income that goes as tax. Yes. If you just overspill like this, police just put you in jail. You are just 2 weeks away from bankruptcy. If you don't work, they will recover your car, recover your house, recover your television. That country, in fact. When are you getting your own visa and joining us? I said, you must be blind or deaf or something. You have just told me about troubles, and you're asking me, when am I coming to join you? You must be drunk. No, I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's perspective in life. It's an attitude. I'm trying to explain something. That's how spiritual things work. I'm explaining something here. This is what Satan does to you in life. He tries to scare you from fighting. That's why God said, watch over your heart with all diligence. If you sit amongst people that are always grumbling and complaining, stop going there. Because, listen, what they do is to kill the seed that has been sown in your heart. The word of God is very powerful, but God lets us know that sometimes we make the word of God of no effect. Do you know that? Is it that the word of God doesn't work anymore? No. In the person's life, it has become inhibited. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, they have limited the Holy One of Israel, God said. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is, God said, the only job I give you is to watch over the place where we keep that word. Make sure the word is there because it will continue working. You are getting the point? Make sure that there is no problem. That is, protect the NEPA installation from vandals and you always have light. He didn't say, run your own dynamo, buy generator. He said, no. This cable will give you light. Just make sure nobody cuts it. So get there every day. Get a cutlass, get a gun, get a grenade. Blow anybody apart who tries to cut the cable. But as per how the light you get there, none of your business. Are you getting what I mean by the power of the word of God now? So say, what's a man supposed to do? A woman who wants results in life, what's she supposed to do? It said, incline your ear to my saying. Make sure they don't depart from your heart. They depart from your sight. Let them be your focus. Don't let the environment be your focus. I don't know whether you're getting what I say. Because the word of God, once he speaks, it always produces. Let me tell you this. You want to know a Christian that's going far in life. You know, my wife and I were discussing today about somebody. He said, you know the guy very well. I said, I don't. I said, but I know he's going very far. How do you know? I said, because. He said, if you enter his car, all you see are tapes and CDs. All he buys are books. Are you getting my point? That every time he's swallowing the word of God and imbibing it and shape, and this is not a matter of a man just doing something because it's in vogue, but doing it because he knows that this is life. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I said, I don't know his background. I know where he's going. He's going very far. Are you getting my point? Listen, where you are coming from does not in any way decide where you are going tomorrow. It is what you are eating now that matters. Now, let me another way to explain it. Do you know, have you ever seen people that say, this person is very thin. In their house, they know they grow fat. No, I always laugh. I said, they never feed you better. I never see person know they grow fat. The amount of grudge and rest that is given into your life that decides how fat you become. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, your weight tomorrow is not decided by your weight yesterday. It's decided by what you're eating today. That's the point I'm making. He said, when I was in school, I used to be very, very thin. That was then. What you will weigh tomorrow depends on what you are doing today. You know, just by the way, my help one, a few young women here. Weight, and you guys also, weight is a habit. It's not, no, listen. Weight is not a tendency, it's a habit. Do you get my point? If you want to be slim tomorrow, form the right habits now. It's a habit. It might be a habit as simple as, I don't drink Coke. And you know, after a year or two, you really don't drink Coke. It becomes a habit. It's a habit you made up your mind. What do you do? I drink water. It can be things like, oh, I don't like things that are fried. And you tell yourself, if you say it enough, after some time, fried things will taste funny in your mouth. Are you getting my point? If you continue after some time, you will form a new habit. It's simple. It's a habit. I'm explaining something here. It is what you are doing now that decides where you are going tomorrow. It is not what was happening yesterday. Are you getting my point? If you were born in Australia, that is maybe your father was born in Australia, your mother was born in London, and you happen to be born in America, that is, you are a citizen of as many developed countries as possible. Okay, right now you live in Japan. Are you getting my point? Can you see? Listen to me. It does not decide whether you'll be prosperous tomorrow or not. Those are issues of history. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. You know what south is? Where you are coming from. Do you get what I'm saying? What decides where you are going tomorrow is what you are eating today. If you are feeding on the diet that made the American man great, are you getting my point? That helped the British man organize society and make the Japanese man diligent, then you can say, peradventure, your tomorrow will be really great. But if you say, hey, this guy, you don't know who I am. Who are you? My father is in Australia. Wow. My mother is British. And I am American. And right now I live in Japan. Young women, the guy has told you nothing. Are you getting my point? He may as well as just jump into the air, hit his head, shaking his leg, and say, hey, here I am, for all that he has said. Nothing. You want to know somebody who's going far? Anytime you see him, check what he's reading. Anytime he's discussing, check what is the center of his discussion. If you see a man that every time he's talking, you say, no problem. You know what I'll do? One of my uncles, he has a BMW. We'll ask him for the BMW, so we'll be able to use that. All right. So like, I'll ask my father. My father, okay, what about that? My cousin is in America. He's going to do this. Once after, look, young woman, if you see a man talk like that, nah, me so. That guy ain't going nowhere. Are you getting my point? The guy is not going anywhere. I know blind women think it's a sign of his prosperity. You know, by blind women, those who can't see. They say, do you know who his father is? His father is a former minister of this. Wow. His uncle is the current minister of that. Mm-hmm. And his cousin is the current DG of this. Just know that girl is stupid. She's dumb. They have not told her how ignorant she is about the real issues of life. Know the kind of man that should impress you? When you are talking, NCC licenses these people. They pay this amount of money. That is rather high because when they license them here, this was what they discussed. Anyway, I don't understand. When these people were doing this and she's giving you facts and figures. If I were to do this, this is where I'm coming from. Now, the one my friend and I said last week, we decided to do this and do this. Even if he came trekking, be his friend. If he doesn't phone you, phone him. Do you get what I'm going to say? When he's analyzing policies, he's telling you about, do you know the Millennium Development Plan? They have said that this is going to happen to the... we have to strategically locate here. Listen to me. No matter how he appears like today, the day he doesn't call you, call him. All these ones that are passing away, that are using uncle, father, brother to brag. Listen, young woman, if you see a man like that, just waka. Or sit him down and say, oh boy, from now on, I don't want to hear about your uncle or your father. I want to hear about you and things are happening here. Do you get my point? Listen, in this day and age, if you see a man, every time you see him, he's on his way to the video club. One DVD to the other. Call him to order. So, boy, are you planning to succeed? Do you get my point? Are you planning to succeed? I said, no, this is the way I like to pass time. He said, your time will soon become past. Men are sharing serious books. You're sitting there watching all the DVDs in town. I don't know whether I get my point. Because it's the words that you are eating now that decides where you will be tomorrow. That's the point we are making. You are following my point? I said that what I want to leave with you is just this matter of this thing must be the most loved thing in your life, to imbibe truth at all times. Paul said, when I was with you, I didn't try to do anything else, but I tried to tell you the truth. Because that is what gives you your inheritance. Let me emphasize this again. Look, I'm a Nigerian, so let me talk like a Nigerian. Physically speaking, even, Nigeria is not a bad place. But let's even leave that one out. let's assume it was bad. It's only in bad times that you make real people. Do you get what I'm saying? And bad times have never hindered any man from progressing. Do you get what I'm saying? It's in bad times that they get sharp. You know, something I said, this happened to be a fact. You know, a lot of my friends, they'll take American exam, blast the exam. Wow. You know, Nigerians are known to blast those exams most of the time very well. So, you know, when they were listening when we were in school, they said, how come? I said, how will it not come? That here, when you want to go for lecture, they build the lecture auditorium for 150 people. You will be 350 inside. As one man is exhaling carbon dioxide, the next man thinking he's inhaling oxygen is actually taking used air. You know, exhaust. He inhales the exhaust of another person. His brain is functioning at lower than the real balance. He doesn't know. So the brain increases the capacity to absorb under tension. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then when the lecturer, I remember this when they want to teach us what they call osteology, that is bones in anatomy. The lecturer will say, try and imagine it actually. I remember that man, they say, actually, this is difficult to configure. You know, trying to explain to you that, you know, there is this, we'll tell you about the different processes. You know, I remember they were teaching iliac bone, that is the bone of the hip. And he was trying to describe it on the board. And he had one bone in his hand. And was a class of 200 students. And the bone was in front. And I was at the back. And the man said, well, this is really, really terrible, you know. It just, everybody's supposed to have one, you know. He was talking. Oh, boy. We still learned it, too. We learned it. Ah, by force now. You get to learn now. You will know the processes and the fossa by force. Which nerve crosses where? If it's only in your brain that they are crossing, let them be crossing there. I said, when you finish like that, you now finally get to Europe or you get to America. The projector is showing you a big picture of a bone. There's a bone in your left hand, one in the right hand. The atlas is in front there, and somebody is now telling you stories. I said, the brain that's been functioning in reduced oxygen tension. Apart from the sun outside, the heat in the classroom generated by your colleagues has cooked your brain quite well. When you get to where everything day, you go, they absorb like, you know, like sponge absorbs water. You know why those guys, Kenyans, are good? They do long distance races very well. They live on the mountain. You know, for those of you who don't understand, oxygen tension on the mountain is very low. So your blood rises to cope with deprivation. When they now bring you to where oxygen is normal, you go, they run like antelope. Are you getting my point? That is, difficulty has never been the reason why a man does not progress. It is where it is the time he gets really tough and becomes a tough man, all right, that lasts. Because tough times, they say, never last. It's tough people that do. Please, are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So what is a man supposed to do? Imbibe truth. Oh, God. That's what I'm trying to explain. Because all Satan tries to do in life is to confuse you. That's all he tries to do. You know, I said something the other day on radio. It's very funny. I said, there is no country that is easy. Michael Jackson has run from America. Can you believe that Michael Jackson has run, that this country is too hot? There's no country that is easy. But the word of God, the Bible says, abides forever. That is, no matter how easy or tough it appears, it can produce in that place. That is why it alarms me when I see Christians who don't take this thing as a matter of life. Do you know, a lot of Christians think that the Bible is still a matter of BK. You should just know about David. Just know who killed Goliath so that you won't say it's Goliath that killed David. You know that kind of thing. The Bible is not about Bible knowledge. Do you get my point? The Bible is about thy words were found and we did eat them. And it became the strength of our life, the rejoicing of our soul. It became the health to our bodies. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It became the ability we had in the face of economic adversity to triumph. No matter, look, if you are very, very sick, no matter how much you hate bitter things, and they say this is the cure to your sickness, you go chop the medicine. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the way it is with the word of God. It's not everything you like and you do in life that you really like. How many people really, really like to get up at 5 a.m. and be jogging? But you want to be fit. Do you follow my point? You are doing it not to really impress anybody. Tell your neighbor, I jogged longer than you. What thing concern your neighbor? Whether you jog or you no jog. It's you that know that this is to keep me fit, to bring my blood pressure down, to keep me trimmed so that I can go about my business normally. So you invest the time. And people tell me that, no, me, I know they like to read. I don't enjoy reading. What I like to do is to watch films. Something is wrong with you. Who's talking about what you like? Me, I like to, you know, you have always been like this. You have been one that likes to read. If I was reading Robert Ludlum, I would accept that. Are you getting my point? So while I'm watching reading the book, you are watching the movie. We understand that. But I'm talking about, I went to a bookshop. I bought a book. And they are telling me about the plan of God for my destiny, even in the midst of adversity. And you're telling me, you know, you have always liked to read. It is, I like to succeed. Maybe peradventure, you like to fail. I don't know whether I get my point. The Bible says, it said, he that keepeth the law loves his own soul, but he that is careless of his ways will die. That is, the man who consciously puts order into his life by imbibing the word of God is the one that loves his soul. But the one that says what's going to be, it doesn't matter, is the one that the Bible says will die, is the one that hates himself. I remember then, I like to use myself as an example. When I used to go to Yanakwaja to go and listen to Bishop Oyedepo, I will wake up at 5 a.m., be out of my house just before 6. That is, I've ironed, dressed, eaten, done everything that I need to do. By 6, I'm out. I start trekking to Mushin. From Mushin, those of you know Lagos, I take a bus to Oshodi. From Oshodi to Yanakwaja. From Yanakwaja, I take a bus to church. And I repeat the journey back. Sometimes I do it in the evenings during the week. Are you getting what I'm saying? I can't remember any day I got back from church and I'm not exhausted. There was a day I got back, I became sick from physical exhaustion. I'm not joking about that. Bishop Oyedepo's school. You know, when I see preachers sometimes, I laugh. I said, these people are funny. This man thinks that this preaching job is a game. That is, you wake up and say, what do I want them to do today? All right. We want to put light on that staircase. So you come. Praise God. And the Lord said, let there be light. And as I was coming up this evening, I realized that darkness is on the staircase. So God says, you ask of you, those of you who are going to put light into this world. It's wickedness. You are not telling people the truth. You are not giving them that will bring out their inheritance. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's wickedness. The first ever school of ministry Bishop Oyedepo organized, I was there. Listen, when we will go then, this, when I look back now, it's so funny. I was much younger anyway. And it was the season. You know, I said everything is in season. School of ministry will start by 8, by 9. We register from 8. There were four sessions. 9 to 11, 11 to 1, 4 to 7, 7 to 9. I will leave my house by 7. Before 7, I'm out. I've taken permission like 2 months ahead. Tell to my chief, please. 3 days. Please, I want to take small casual leave. First one, we are there. Second one, then between, the difficult time was between 1 and 4. There was nowhere to go. We will sit down inside the church, like on these plastic chairs, the other white plastic chairs, and put your head against the wall and sleep. And take a stroll and buy biscuits and a Coke and drink and go back and sit down and do that 3 consecutive days. On Sunday, we're back for service. Listen, I wasn't doing that because I wanted to preach. I was doing it because these people were sharing truth that's guaranteed to make a man survive. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It will help you succeed. If you want to preach or you want to live life, that didn't have to do nothing. Businessmen were there. Some people just look and say, this man, I always knew he had a flair for ministry. Rubbish. What has flair for ministry got to do with what we're talking about? Are you getting the point I'm making? It has nothing to do with it. I remember when I first got to Lagos, after youth service, because youth service, that one was a dry period. I was serving somewhere very far where the word of God was cast in those days. You get what I'm saying? So as soon as I got there, I will see a poster on the road. As God is my witness, I was a JJC in Lagos. Before then, I'd only been to Lagos once. Before the end of my youth service. No, twice. Once, I stayed like 2 days for my... I came to do my registration. And number two, we just came visiting. This was the first time I was really settling down in Lagos for any length of time. So I didn't know anywhere. I will see poster, carry paper, and copy address. And go back home and ask the driver, say, okay, I beg, how do I get to this place? They tell you, okay, you take this bus from here to here, cross the bridge by leg, take this bus here. From here, you cross this bridge. My brother, that's how I used to go around. Why? Because I hear that, then I've heard of Christ Chapel. I went to go and listen to Tunde Joda. Went around, you know, some people went around preaching the gospel. I went around hearing the gospel. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, those are the things that shape your perspective in life. So when everybody starts saying there is a casting down, you're not trying to say there's a lifting up. You know that there's a lifting up. Are you getting my point? It's coming from a barrel of conviction. You are sure. No, you are sure. Look, I have never been one to think that if you get to America, life is just straight there. If it's London, you get to, no wahala. Australia, that's even the best. Just try to get to Japan, you have no problem. As God is my witness, among the things that shape my perspective in life, were with the times I listened to Supernatural Living Series by Bishop David Oyedepo. After that, I knew that I was not a common man. Do you get my point? Therefore, I don't behave like a tail. I behave like a head. You know what tails do? Tails follow the head. Heads, if they see problem on the way, they clear it. They solve the issue. I say, I'm not a tail, I am a head. I had friends in Eddie Seal Bookshop in Lagos. Not because they are my relations, but because my friend and I would go there and spend all our money. Do you follow my point? I mean, once they pay salary, like, you just have small money. He said, that book, good, I don't catch you today. That is, people are going to pay for shoes and lay up money for television and maybe spare tire for a car that they have not yet bought. My own is that we're heading for where? Eddie Seal. They were in a small circle. Eddie Seal, they cross, the iffy music, all of them. From one to the other, once you finish, like, never, there was a trick my friend and I, we had that time. When you look at the money, say, oh, boy, how much did they? Say, 200 naira. This kind of egging book now, 200 naira. Okay, we'll leave him first. See, this Jonji Lake is 40 naira, so we'll buy that one. We'll pick all the small, all the books that are not expensive. Say, nah, beg, she been at the print, and the same anointing is inside the two of them. We'll be using all that kind of rationalization and then trek back home. Say, look, but that bus stop is not far now. If you walk around now, we all buy all the, we'll pack everything for nylon bag. We begin to walk back home. I remember one day, my mom said that my cousin said that I was staying with my cousin then, that I spent all my money buying tapes. I said, Mommy, they are much cheaper than medicine. Sure, you know that. She said, that is true. I said, they are much cheaper than medicine. No, it's true. This one is guaranteed to heal you. So it's much cheaper. It's a better investment. Look, don't let anybody tell you that, you say, maybe they won't talk about marriage. And I say, you don't need that one yet. That's not my problem right now. You don't start looking for truth when it becomes a problem. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. If they are teaching on how to raise children, say, I don't have children yet. I have no plans for that. When that time comes, listen, when that time will come, you won't have the time. My wife was telling me today, they said, now, wow. See, to settle down and sit down and listen to the word is really hard. Not because she doesn't love it. So once she's done like this, I can look, come, Mommy, where are you? Are you upstairs? You know, say, wala, don't come. So the best time to learn how to raise him, it was before he was born. I don't know whether you get my point. After he's been born, he has become, you know, one of your adversaries in the house. It's difficult to go and read how to tackle him that time. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. They are talking about books about how to age gracefully, you know, how to grow old. They say, I'm still very young. That one is still far. Listen, aging starts the day you were born. This is the time to learn it. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Listen, as a Christian, God is not impressed with church activity. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I attended one church in Lagos, which, my God, Somebody said, are you actively involved? I said, yes. What do you do? I said, I'm actively involved in listening to the pastor. I said, all pastor does is to preach the word. He didn't ask us to do anything. If you have money, put an offering basket. If you have money, give him an offering personally. Put an envelope. Give him personally. The man is not asking for anything. All he does is prayer meeting. Then teach the Bible on Sunday. Teach it during the week. Everybody go home. Everybody hear the truth. You can go and gather in your house. I'm not stopping you. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Church activity is not the primary goal of Christianity. Are you getting what I'm saying? The primary aim of everything is to imbibe truth. The word of God. You are getting my point. So when you wake up in the morning, whether in your church they are doing seminar or not, go to where they are doing seminar. I've never been a loyal person. You know I'm a lawyer. You know I'm a lawyer. So this is our church. I don't go anywhere else. God did this such a manner that I can never be like that. I sit down just now in my church. I do something. I just hear that this man, that great teacher is in town. 3 days seminar. I will take an excuse. So we'll see you in the next week. Right now, they are doing seminar somewhere. Once I know they are sharing truth, I'm up there. After that, I'll come back. And in case I don't go, I buy the tapes. Do you get my point? I say the tapes is for everybody. I'll go and buy it. I always used to say that if you see any man of God, serious, I don't mean jokes like Reverend Kingo. I mean real human beings. I don't mean Reverend King and T.B. Joshua. I mean not people like that. I mean real people. I feel that if the man is really doing something, there must be one or two things that he's saying that I don't know. So I quickly, it may not be something I'll do for the rest of life. I just go and gather maybe like 20 tips. Just sit down. Go through them. Uh-huh. Me too. In case the man has something that in all the places I've been feeding, nobody has been serving this. Let me grab my own. Are you getting my point? There is something that he can supply that somebody else can supply. That's how you live a balanced life. No, that's how you live it. You know, some Christians make me laugh. Say, you know, when they go to, maybe, like, assume they go to Winners now. The only man of God they know is Bishop David Oyedepo. You know, I don't know. Human beings are very mental. Why don't you ask the man that, sir, to come to this level, were you listening to only one person? Ask him simply. The man will tell you that I read this from Gloria Copeland. Then Oswald J. Smith taught me this. He would tell you that, Kenneth Hagin, I went to his meeting in America. That's why I got this. He would tell you that Copeland said this. You see it. Yeah, you think that he has done all the searching around, so he has now congealed everything. What he has congealed is only fitting to his stature. Do you get my point? It does not fit your own. The same path he walked that same one. He is there, you listen to him, you turn around, there's somebody else, you grab everything. That is why, look, with all the men I have listened to on this earth, my voice is still banky. Are you getting my point? No, it's true. You can't mix my voice up with somebody else's own. It is still me. Because as I'm listening to a man who is saying, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm listening to another man who is saying, God is able to bless you. By the time you cross between T.D. Jakes and A.I. Adeboye, you go balance. You go balance. There's no how you won't balance. That's how to balance. And the balance will be your own personal self. Are you getting my point? That is what will become you. Please, in life, like I told you, this is all I used to preach before. When they used to give me only 30 minutes to preach in places. Because there's not much I can say in 30 minutes. But I can commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And that word is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. Are you getting the point? Listen, there is something that God wants to do in your life which will not require you struggling, but requires you to believe. And look, you can't just believe because I made up my mind to believe. No. Faith comes by hearing. Are you getting my point? It's as the word is entering into you that something real is being formed inside. I said, you don't get results by trying. That's why it's called the word of his grace. You get results by believing, and every other thing starts cooperating. And then actions are stimulated inside you by force. Because the word is forceful. People say God is a gentleman. He doesn't force people. I say that's when it has not entered you yet. Do you get my point? Jeremiah said, when I said I will not speak, the word became like fire in my bones. All right? And I could not forbear. I couldn't withstand speaking. When the word has entered you, it's no longer a gentleman. All this one, Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force people. I don't know where we read it from. It's not in the Bible. Do you get my point? Holy Spirit is not gentle at all. When he came upon Saul, he said, is Saul also amongst the prophets? Saul was beside himself. That's not the sign of a gentleman. Are you getting my point? I'm saying that once you have imbibed that word, if God wants to be a rascal for Christ, you will be a rascal for Christ without trying to be. Do you get my point? If he wants to be an entrepreneur for Christ, you will find entrepreneurship just coming out of your orifices without you trying. That's all I want to say. You follow my point? Today is the last day of our regular meetings for this year. I hope you have been blessed this year. I pray that the word that you have heard will not stand against you in judgment, because it will have produced something in your life. Are you getting my point? That you will say concerning life, see, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. I have used the truth has produced in me. I have blessed you people. Are you following what I'm saying? Please don't forget. Make sure this is an everyday thing. The Bible said, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it said, this word that I'm teaching you today, it said, you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them. Who has an Amplified Bible there? Let me have it, please. Thank you very much. Yeah, I would really like to conclude with this. When you see an average Nigerian grumbling, it's because that's all he ever hears other people do. If you want to speak faith, this is how it comes into your heart. Listen to it. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. Moses said, he said, and these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the mind and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. What was he saying there? That is, the word doesn't just enter sometimes. You have to whet, you know what it means, and sharpen it. Make it so sharp that it can penetrate. Because the heart of a man sometimes can be very, very stubborn. Are you getting my point? That's when you have built strongholds inside your heart. The thing that can remove the stronghold is the word of God. He said, how do you whet and sharpen it? He said, you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as signs upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets, that is, headbands between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What was God saying? That fill every entrance into your heart with the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, put a sticker on your door. I am a giver, not a taker. Are you following my point? I am an overcomer, not a loser. Put a sticker on your door that says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. No, don't even put real things. That in Nigeria, I will be a successful entrepreneur. Every day, see it. Are you getting my point? As a young woman, put it there even before you marry. Say, I will be a joyful mother of many children. Walk by that door. Every time you are going out, put it will be the last thing you see when you go out. When they want to talk nonsense in your ears outside, you will hear another word rising from inside you. Are you getting my point? He said, my reins doth instruct me in the night seasons. That's when things are rough. Things come out from inside me that I have put there, during the day. That's how men overcome. In life, I have found out I can never be a loser. In life, I have found out that I can never be average. In life, I have found out that I must be. God has made me a successful man. It's not by trying. The word that I'm imbibing and I have imbibed, we bring forth results by force. Even if I didn't want to get up, all right? They will lift me up to my feet. That's how it works. So, the Lord bless you and be with you.